grace, it's just amazing. Grace, it's just amazing. Now, this is intended to be the introduction to grace. And so what I'm asking you to do is to really read the book of Galatians, because I'm going to be doing a series on Galatians. And so I'm starting, I thought I was starting next week with chapter 1, but after first service, I already know the introduction has two parts. I didn't get through it. That's not exactly how I had it planned, but it's certainly how God had it planned, and so I'm following his plan rather than mine. And so we'll be working through Galatians. So each week, if you'd read that chapter, and you know, I think it was Spurgeon that said, until you'd read a chapter 40 times, you never fully grasp it. And so, like, keep reading it. Because I think there's something significant that we're going to get to. Because I really don't think we get grace. I don't think we understand it. I just think it's so hard for us to grasp. It's beyond our understanding. And so, because our minds are finite, they're limited, and we are so performance-based. Got it? We're like... We talk about unconditional love, but we don't really get it. We don't get it. We love conditionally. I'd like to say that we don't, because I'm trying my best to love unconditionally, but I know it's hard, and I know that it's important, and I know it's only God's grace working through me that makes that possible, because that doesn't come naturally for any one of us to be able to love unconditionally. In fact, we're so performance-based. If people do what we like them more. If they don't, we like them less. But the fact is, that's not how God is. You cannot change God's love for you or his grace. And so it's important that we would understand that, that's how grace is. And so for us to grasp, I don't think you're going to fully get grace today or next week or in the next 6 weeks that I'm going to be teaching on this, but I think the light might come on a little bit brighter. You might get a little bit more about it than what you had before, and that's my purpose and my hope and prayer as we walk through this, that just a little bit more you'd understand grace, just a little more, because you know, if we are so conditional on all that we do, we don't get unconditional grace and unconditional favor and unconditional love. We don't understand that, because it's too hard for us to understand. Because if someone is nice, we like them more. Some people are not nice, we don't. And so that's just natural. That's natural. But what God is calling us to understand and grasp is something that's not natural. It's supernatural. It goes beyond what the natural mind can be able to grasp. And so it says, and since it is through God's... since it is through God's kindness. I want you to grasp that. I want you to get that, because it's through his kindness. Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in God's judgment. I'm not saying that I don't believe that God holds us accountable. I'm not saying that I don't believe that we should hold one another accountable. I believe all of that. And I believe that that is the word of God, and that's what's taught to us, and it's important that we would do that. Because I think there's a balance in all of Scripture that we need to comprehend. So it's not, we can't just take one portion or one thought and then say that's a doctrine all the way through. We have to balance it with other Scriptures and other understanding for us to get it. But this is one thing we can for sure. It says, since it is through God's kindness, his kindness is what attracts us and draws us into relationship with him. And so we kind of are all ready to give judgment, but God is calling us to give kindness. We want to be like Jesus. And so he said, then it is not there by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. Free and undeserved. And so the best definition, biblical definition we can give you to grace is that grace is free and undeserved. could you do that? What is grace? Grace is? Okay, I want you to walk away at least grasping that. So you have a hold on, what is grace? It's free and it's undeserved. And so there's an importance of making sure that we understand nothing that we could do could earn God's grace. It's hard because we think that, well, I've served God for a long time. He certainly has more grace for me than someone else. The answer is wrong, because God's grace is consistent. It's the same. It's important because grace is within God's nature. Grace is within God's nature. Now, what that means when we say grace is within his nature, it means his nature is unchanging. It's unchangeable. You cannot change God. You cannot, anything you do could not change how God responds, because God is unchangeable. And so when we understand that God is unchangeable, that means anything that you do could not change God's grace. You couldn't go too far for God's grace. You couldn't be beyond God's grace. There's nothing, you couldn't do anything to damage God's grace, because his grace is free and undeserved. So it's important that we would understand that from the very beginning. If we could change the nature of God, God would be going this way and this way and this way because of all of our action and how we handle life. But you can't. You can't change God's grace. You can't change anything about him. Grace, according to the dictionary, it says in Christian belief, because that's how they would have to frame it, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. So they say free and unmerited, which is what we've just said, free and undeserved. That's the grace of God. Now, Scripture says, for since this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live and triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Now, I will say, there's a doctrine that I have heard and that is going around and is prevalent today that in regard to grace, that it says, they say that you don't have to confess any longer once you give your heart to Christ. You don't have to confess anymore. Now, I don't see that as biblical at all, because I see 1 John written to Christians says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the word tells me I need to continue to confess. Now that doesn't impact grace, because grace is free and undeserved. But forgiveness is a separate part. It's a different part in regard to grace. And so that's what we have to try to grasp and understand. Now, you think, wow, what's prevalent in our present culture and what kind of a doctrine is going out? It's not new. It's not new. I would say that it never happened before, but Paul already had it in Romans. And when you read Romans 5, 6, 7, and you read that, he says there's a doctrine that's going around that if you would sin, you get grace. So why not sin more so you get lots more grace? And it's like, okay, there's a problem in understanding what grace is. Is it new? No. It's been around before. The same problem's been around before. So it's important that we would understand God's grace is evident by our sin. Now let me explain so you understand, because scripturally, we've got to put it in context, but his grace is evident by our sin. How does it say that? Because God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So this is where Paul says, so you think that because God's grace comes because of sin, let's sin a lot and get a lot of grace. Wrong understanding of Scripture, because that is not how we live. We've been called to a different life when we give our hearts to Christ. In fact, our life becomes transformed. The fact is that when we give our heart to Christ, I always say that's when you get your BA. Now, if you haven't been to college, you can still have a BA, right? Born again. You can come to an experience in a time and a moment when you are born again. How? By giving your heart to Christ, receiving his grace into your life, and knowing the transformation that happens as a result. Now, that's going to change your life. It's going to change your thinking. It's going to change who you are. God's grace is fully undeserved. It's fully undeserved. So nothing you can do can merit it more or less. It's undeserved. It's there. It's present. And that's why he said it's the same today, for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. Undeserved kindness. God's undeserved kindness has been given and extended to you that you might be able to come into that relationship with him, to know him. The fact is, God's grace transforms us. So it transforms us. I am a different person because of God's grace. I am not the person, you saw the video, I am not the person I was because of God's grace. I'm changed, I am transformed. I was another person, but now I am not. And that's the result. When God's grace comes to you, when he gives you his grace, you're not going to be the same person. And that's why I say, I repeat the prayer. In fact, I'll do it again today. Give you an opportunity to pray and invite Christ into your heart. But I want you to know this much. It's not like some kind of special secret words like hocus pocus, poof, like now you're born again. No, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of a sincere heart that prays that prayer. And it's a matter of a sincere heart that receives Christ into your life. And you are changed. One of the things that I talk to people and I'll say, have you ever given your heart to Christ? And people will often say, oh yes, Pastor, I've prayed that prayer a lot of times. And I say, okay, well, then were you changed as a result of that? And they'll say, what do you mean? And I say, well, like, you see, the Spirit of God comes into our heart. If we're sincere and we pray that prayer, and I am born again, I have a new spirit now living in me. And because of that, I'm a new person. And because of that, I think differently, I act differently, I behave differently. So I'm not the same person I was before. I'm a new person. And so that new person, did that ever happen in your life? And they'll go, no, I don't think so. And I'll say, okay, would you like that? Well, yes, I would. Well, then let's pray sincerely and you invite Christ into your heart. And you can know that he transforms you, because that is the difference that he brings to us. And that's why he said, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. That means I'm not going to live the same way I lived before. If I live the same way I lived before, there's no transformation. Got it? I'm still the same person. It's when I live differently. You see, I think differently when I give my heart to Christ, not just feel. See, if you based all of your salvation on feeling, you said, I prayed that prayer and I felt really good, but then the next day I didn't feel so good. I must not be saved today because I don't feel good. Wrong. If you prayed that prayer in sincerity and your desire was to follow God, ignore your feelings, because some people have a feeling and some people don't. Some people give their heart to Christ and there's this radical transformation. They come to know him, and like, I was in drugs and alcohol, I had a gun to my head and I was about to shoot myself, and then at that point I heard this voice and it said, I am with you and I'll be with you, and then I gave my heart to Christ and my life has changed. Well, that's a wonderful testimony. But so is somebody who says, I was 5 years old, and I, not a big feeling, not a big thing, but I gave my heart to Christ, and ever since I've been following him. That's a wonderful testimony, because we have to understand that God saved them from all those things, as well as saved the others out of all those things. And so there's both aspects that we have to understand, and that's why it's so important that we would see, not on feeling. It's not feeling, it's thinking. You're going to think differently because you've given your heart to Christ. And that means I'm going to think about life differently. I'm going to respond to life differently. I'm going to act differently. I'm going to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Amen? And that's the grace that he gives us. Now, grace saves us. So grace saves us. It changes us, and that's what draws us. You may think you came to church on your own accord this morning, but you didn't. It was God's grace that drew you. Loved worship this morning. Loved the diversity in worship. We very intentionally call ourselves an intergenerational church. And the reason we do is because we are looking at having something all a part of our worship that reaches everyone. And as you've heard me say, my goal is that everybody would be unhappy because everybody would leave thinking, I wish they would have done more of this or more of that or less of this or less of that. That's our goal. So if that's how you feel, then we got it. Because that's how we all give to one another, because the body of Christ is all about giving, not getting. And so we understand grace saves us. God's grace is all that saves us. That's all that saves us. And so we've got to understand what that means and how that works in our lives, because we believe that we are all saved the same way. No matter what your sin is, no matter what your background, no matter how old, no matter how young. I love the story that comes out that they say that there were 2.5 people gave their heart to Christ. And they say, 2.5 people? How could that be? Oh, you mean 2 adults and 1 child. They said, no, I mean 2 children and 1 adult, because the adult only had half their life left. The fact is, we're all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. That's what saves us, and that's what makes the difference. God's grace appears when you believe. And so when we believe, his grace draws us to himself. His grace comes and works in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he transforms us. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So nothing you can do. You can't be proud of your faith. You can only be grateful. And I think there's such an important aspect of understanding our journey. If there's anything in your life that is of any merit, you have to just say, I'm just thankful. I'm not proud of anything. I'm just grateful, because it's undeserved and it was given. And that's God's grace, and that's how he works. God's grace brings life from death. Life from death. That means at one point you were dead and you had to come to life. That's why when somebody says, I say, you know, when did you become a Christian? And they say, I was always a Christian. I say, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. You couldn't always be a Christian, because that would mean that you never had a point in your life where there was change. You have to go from death to life, which means at some point you volitionally, you chose to give your heart to Christ. Some point. It has to happen. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't have been some gradual point, you know, because I think, you know, when we talk about all that time period before you gave your heart to Christ, I always call it the gestation period. You know, and some people have a very short gestation period. They kind of hear the word and they kind of give they're born again. Some people seem like elephants. It takes like a long time to be born again. And their gestation period, they've heard the word, seeds are planted, but it takes a long time before it really happens. But that when it happens, you go from death to life. That's the importance. That even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. It's only by God's grace. And that's why God's grace brings us eternal life. That's the good news. That's the good news. And so we can be confident that we have eternal life because of God's grace. And that's why he says, because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. And so if I ask you, if you would die tonight, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you say, I hope so, then I would say, that's not enough. I hope you do too, but it's not enough. That's not going to make it for you. No, you have to know for sure, because he tells us we can have confidence. confidence that I have God's grace working in me because I made a decision to follow Christ. I gave my heart to him, and he came in my life and made it new. That is confidence, and I have the confidence of eternal life as a result. Let me pray with you in closing. Father, it's by your grace that we are saved. And we are so grateful for that grace in our lives and for your faithfulness to us and for all that you mean to us. I know that there are those that are here this morning that heard this message and thought, you know, I really don't know God's grace in my life. I hear it, I understand what you're saying, but I don't have that assurance in my own heart, but I want to. And if that's the desire of your heart this morning, then would you just pray this simple prayer along with me in your heart that says, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of your grace in my life. Forgive my sin. Help me to live a holy life, the life you've called me to. I want to turn from my sin. I want to know you as Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. Thank you for grace that covers my sin. If you prayed that prayer this morning, it's not a simple hocus pocus. It's a prayer of faith. And if you prayed that by faith, believing that God's grace is enough to cover you, and you've asked his forgiveness, would you just put your hand up and down so I can pray for you? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Lord, I don't know where it is in the journey for each one that has prayed this morning. Some of them, it might have been a recommitment. Some of them might just need your grace in a fresh new way. Some of them, it's for the very first time that they really are getting it and understanding your great love for them. Whatever it is, we've been called to live by faith, by your grace. And we give you thanks for that in Christ's name. Amen. There were a number of those that made decisions this morning. Would you rejoice along with us about how God's grace is sufficient? Amen. We'll do the part two of the introduction next week. Walk in grace. May God bless you and go with you.